The Jerry Bader Show.
.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. What do you know? It looks like the Bader curse is broken. I got my snow thrower back from the shop, and we're still going to get 9 inches of snow. Of course, on the other hand, perhaps if I didn't get it back, we'd be getting 14 inches of snow. So you can never be sure, now can you? If you're not aware of the curse, about 3 years ago, we had a huge storm after which I got a snow thrower, and then we didn't get snow for the rest of the winter. And it has been the snow thrower theory since, and it's been pretty consistent. If I had a flat, we'd get a lot of snow at a flat on the snow thrower, that sort of thing. This one, boy, I think this just kind of shoots it out of the water. Because when I got my snow thrower back last week, I figured we were good for another month. And in fact, over the last 12 hours, they have just been upping the totals. It's like a Ben Bernanke stock market. Up and up and up. It was 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 5 to 8. Now they are saying 9 inches for most of the WTAQ listening area. Ay. And it's already starting out there. It's snowing moderate right now. Not very heavy snow. It's going to get very heavy. Afternoon drive is going to be miserable. Just miserable. As you know, we have Road Watch traffic with Tommy Fox from 3 to 5:30. He'll tell you what's going on. Tommy does a fabulous job, as Chuck does in the morning. But be listening for that if you have anywhere to go this afternoon. And, of course, if there are suddenly cancellations of evening events or whatever, we'll let you know about that as well. But, yeah, we are getting hit with another one. So my gut that they were right about the difficult winter, I think on January 14th we could already say that was true. It has been a very difficult winter already. A lot of snow, bitter cold, more snow coming, probably more bitter cold coming after this snow. Not as bad as we had. But it's just one of those winters that the global warming kook left feels doesn't happen anymore. It's just the way it is. After 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by State Senator Glenn Grothman. Glenn Grothman is a rock-ribbed conservative from West Bend, state senator. He and I mostly always agree. We had a gentle disagreement over the raw milk issue. Totally agree with him, and this is not why we're having him on, but I might mention it to him briefly. Totally agree with him. He wants to exempt e-cigarettes from the statewide public smoking ban. I agree with that. I haven't had a chance to tell Glenn I agree with that, but I agree with that. That's not what we're having him on for, though. He and another state lawmaker are proposing a change in the work hour rules in Wisconsin. Right now, you can't work 7 straight days. You need a day off in there. He is proposing that workers could voluntarily exceed that. The counterargument is it won't become voluntary. If a lot of workers agree to do it and you don't do it, you'll be pariah, you'll be stigmatized, and you might be out of a job. I generally agree with him on this one, too. But I'm a little iffy on what he's proposing based on what I've read in the news, which is why I want to have him on. But I generally, I think you should be able to work as many days as you want. But I understand, I do understand, I don't think it's a frivolous argument that voluntary might not stay voluntary. I want to see, though, if he's built any safeguards in on that or if he's given that any thought. And my intent is to open the phones to you after Glenn and I talk and see what your thoughts are on that. Also want to give another plug to something that we unveiled here on the show yesterday. And I'll do this nice and slowly because I know some of you didn't get the entire web address. I also posted it on Facebook, Twitter, and I will try to get us to link to it. We will link to it at jerrybadershow.com. It's Wisconsin Media Check. The website is WIS, WIS, MediaCheck.com. CheckWisMedia.com. That's CheckWisMediaCheck.com. They already have a new story up today about a story that was on NBC 26 last night. So you can go check it out. And David Fiorazzo of Wisconsin Media Check will join me on Fridays to highlight their top bias stories of the week. You will, if you go there right now, you will see examples of bias from TV stations all over the state. And that's what's really cool. They're not limiting this to any one market. It's newspapers all over the state. It's TV markets all over the state. Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison, Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire. All of those are in there. And I guarantee that the purveyors of those media have already started to follow. And by the way, you can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, so you know when they have something new. I've done that. And it's a tool I'm going to be using a lot. David will be joining me on Fridays, as I said, to highlight what they see as the big bias story of the week or just a few, whatever. But we'll be doing that. But I want to make you aware of, and here's the other thing that's really cool that we talked about yesterday. You can become a citizen journalist. If you see bias happening live, something you record on your iPhone or something like that, you can share it. That's the other thing. You know, you can make their lives really easy right now. My daughter does this all the time. With DVR, if you're watching live TV, you can quick rewind and then record it with your iPhone. She does that all the time. That's a very easy way. If you see bias on TV, you can send it right to wismediacheck.com. Or you can just give them a tip. Hey, I saw this. Go look for that. Again, it's wismediacheck.com. The reason I'm giving them as much love as I am, one, they brought me in on ground zero. They actually wanted me to be directly involved. My workday just does not allow for that. However, I certainly want to be a partner with them. And when they have these examples, I will let you know that they have them. You can also go there often to see what's happening in your corner of the world. And again, if you are listening on the stream, and I know we have listeners in Chicago, Dallas, St. Louis, Fargo, Australia, fair amount in Milwaukee. We are able to track this a little bit, where people stream. It's not an exact science. I don't have the drill down of the numbers, but we have an idea. Wherever you're listening, if you see this kind of bias, go to wismediacheck.com. And by the way, their goal is to have these pop up in every state, which would be fabulous. But in the meantime, whatever you find, examples of media bias are informative to everyone, regardless of where they happen. So again, that's wismediacheck.com. Just want to make you aware of that. All right. This is not the most important story of the day. This is the weirdest story of the day. And gun opponents are going to be all over this for a couple of reasons. One obvious, one not quite as obvious. This happened in Miami. It happened in a movie theater as the trailers for new movies were running, or previews. Most people call them previews now. You know why they were called trailers for years, don't you? Because they used to come after the movies way back when. When the movie industry decided, you know, it's worth annoying them because they might leave and not see the advance of the upcoming movies. So we're actually going to put these before the movies. So for years, they were called trailers, even though some still call them movie trailers, even though they appear before the movies now. You have to go way, way, way back to when they appeared after the movies. I mean, that might be the 1950s or 60s. The cartoons used to precede the movie. Then you had the movie, then you had the trailers. Now they're previews. It was during the preview in a movie theater near Tampa, Florida, Monday afternoon. A guy's texting. Okay, he's not talking on a cell phone, and the movie hasn't started. He's texting. He is asked repeatedly by another customer, knock it off. He doesn't stop. The other customer shoots him dead. Wait, there's more. Jason says, does there have to be more? Yes. He is a retired Tampa police officer. An argument over texting in the movies ended in a cell phone user's death when a retired police officer in the audience shot him at a theater near Tampa, Florida, Monday afternoon, authorities said. Two couples were among patrons at a matinee of Lone Survivor at the Grove, at the Grove 16 movie theater in Wesley Chapel, that's a bit northeast of Tampa, when one of the men, a retired Tampa police officer, got angry because the man in front of him was using his phone during the previews, despite being asked to stop several times, said Doug Tobin, a Pasco County Sheriff's Office spokesman. A witness told local television stations the offended man stormed out to get a manager but returned without one. The man used the phone, explained to the irritated man he was simply texting his three-year-old daughter. 3 seconds, 4 seconds later, the argument starts again. Cummings told the reporters outside the theater, their voices started growing up. There seems to be almost a confrontation. Somebody throws popcorn. I'm not sure who drew the popcorn. And bang, he was shot. Okay. We don't know what happened. This is being reported. I'm not defending shooting the guy. Just hang on a second here. Here, though, already. is a couple of places where the story is going. The killing underscored the increased debate about when to use smartphones in public. In October, singer Madonna was spotted texting during the Lincoln Center premiere of 12 Years a Slave. That led Tim League, chief executive of Alamo Drafthouse, a Texas-based chain of boutique cinemas, to post on Twitter she was banned from watching movies at his theaters. This, in my mind, doesn't have really anything to do with texting, and it really doesn't have anything to do with guns. Liberals, I know, are going to be freaking out over that concept. We don't know what the guy with the phone did. Was he threatening? Again, I am not saying that the shooting is justified. What I am saying is the way this is being portrayed, that a guy was texting and another guy shot him because he was texting. Here's what we know factually at this moment. A dispute arose out of a guy texting and wouldn't stop. I'm not really sure why during the previews any customer would be that hacked off at someone texting. I wouldn't even be that hacked off at someone talking, as long as they end the conversation before the movie starts. So this sounds like a guy that's easily agitated, but I don't know that. It doesn't seem that he has the demeanor and judgment of a police officer. But we don't know what happened. So you're going to have this, see, Florida, boy, they let anybody carry a gun. And here's the other thing, though. The other thing lefties always say is, well, I'm okay with a trained officer having one. That's different. Well, this guy's a retired police officer. He's not just somebody with a gun. Again, we do not know what happened. I throw this out there because I know what's going to happen. See, this is another example, because Florida is becoming the textbook for the anti-gun nuts on how not to handle guns. They believe Florida, the whole Zimmerman-Martin thing. See, Florida, they're just too crazy about their guns, and this is what you have. We have no idea what happened. None. All we know is there was a dispute, there was a confrontation, it elevated, and it ended in a gunshot, and somebody's dead. We have no idea how the guy responded to being berated because he was being criticized or being told to stop the texting. Now, that's interesting. We already have two emails, suggesting it could be post-traumatic stress disorder. That's interesting. Not one, but two. Immediately from two friends of mine. Very interesting. I don't know. I have no idea. But I put it out there because I know what's going to happen is you're going to be hearing a lot about, well, see, here's another one, and it's Florida. What did we tell you about those guns? Here's the problem. One other thing, because I probably won't get to this later, there's a huge potential acquisition out there. And I didn't know this. Do you know what is the fastest growing hard liquor of choice right now? And not just in the U.S., but globally. If I had to take 10 guesses, I wouldn't have got this. It's bourbon. The popularity of Kentucky bourbon, which I'm a little fond of, is growing. Now, what a lot of people don't know is some of the more popular brands, Maker's Mark, Knob Creek, those are both Jim Beam products. A lot of people don't know that. They're more popular than Jim Beam. They're actually Beam products. Suntory, an Osaka, Japan-based beer and soft drink maker, Suntory Holdings, agreed Monday to buy Beam Incorporated, the owner of Jim Beam, Maker's Mark, and Knob Creek Bourbons, and the second largest maker of American whiskey behind Brown-Forman Corporation. Jim Beam Devil's Cut. Good stuff, huh? Oh, apparently. Whenever they can hear you laugh on mic, you know it's good. No, it's fine. It's fine. Oh, boy. I have not had that. You know me. I love my Maker's Mark. I do. But, yeah, a Japanese-based beer maker acquiring... I didn't realize bourbon is actually supplanting vodka as the most popular. I'm in good company. It's 8:56.
Hi, Brent Martin, owner of Rebath of Northeast.